Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Most other people call it contemporary worship. It's not contemporary. It's 200 years old. It's called revivalism.
It's just the time in which we live and we're called to live. And it means we bear witness, confess with charity, but also we're going to be called ever more forthrightly and more often to stand up.
He says to them, "You render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's, and I will show you what God's payment is. I will be the payment that you cannot be."
We have a president and a political party dedicated to the proposition that an entire class of human beings can be set aside to be killed. That is no light matter.
In about 20 minutes, that's just a taste of the sound bites that we have ready to play for you as we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Weekend. 20 minutes here on Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, the 16th of November. We'll play the sound bites. You listen and then you call and vote, or you email and you vote, 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org, or you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Now, I know what it was like kind of in the middle of America to gauge just generally the reaction to last week's general election. What was it like in Mormon country, especially since the GOP presidential candidate was a very famous Mormon and the first to successfully get his party's nomination for the presidency of the United States? Bill McKeever joins us. He's founder of Mormonism Research Ministry in Draper, Utah, and he's co-author of the book Mormonism 101. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be with you. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You do live in Mormon country. How would you gauge the reaction to last week's election among the Mormon population?
Well, I actually live about 20 minutes from downtown Salt Lake City, so you're right. I'm kind of right in the middle of it. There seems to, as you could expect, a great amount of disappointment. There were a lot of Latter-day Saints out here that were really hoping that perhaps they might get their first member elected to the presidency. At the same time, it was kind of odd. Some were actually expressing a little bit of a sigh of relief that maybe this will get the spotlight off of their church, and that really puzzled me. I would think that you would like people scrutinizing your church, asking you questions about what you believe, but apparently for some Mormons, that really wasn't the case. So it's kind of mixed, I guess you could say.
I'm wondering what would it have meant if one is serious about adhering to the teachings of the Mormon religion? What should it have meant to a Mormon to have one of their own elected president of the United States?
Well, I think for many Latter-day Saints, they were hoping that the 19th century stigma that is kind of lapsed over into the 21st century to a certain extent would probably go away. For many Latter-day Saints, they were kind of relieved that for a Mormon to get as far along as he did in this last election, to them, kind of meant that maybe the stigmatism was starting to go away. And it's kind of confusing for me because, you know, you hear these stories about, well, now the Mormon church has kind of moved on into the mainstream, and I'm asking, what does that really mean? It sounds to, you know, like the usual positive rhetoric that a Mormon would say, but what does it really mean? Did it really mean that all of a sudden Bible-believing Christians had a different view theologically regarding Mormons? Because I don't really see that. The people who tend to not see Mormon doctrine as problematic probably didn't see it ever was problematic. So I don't know if the election changed any of that. And many evangelicals that I have spoken to who told me they were going to hold their nose and vote for Romney anyway, I don't think they've changed their views theologically regarding the Mormon church. I think that's always going to be a problem for the Mormon church unless they get rid of those heretical teachings.
According to the Pew Forum, Governor Romney received the same percentage of the Mormon vote, 78%, that President Bush received from Mormons in 2008. in 2004. I'm sorry. How do you explain this?
Well, I think there could be a lot of explanations as to you're asking how the Mormons voted. You mean?
Yeah.
That's a good question. What intrigues me, though, is the fact that evangelicals actually voted for Romney a percentage point higher than the Mormons did. I thought that was kind of odd. I was actually quite shocked when I saw that in the Deseret News that white evangelicals, actually 79% of them, had voted for Romney over 78% Mormons. That was a little bit of a surprise to me, because it tends to get rid of that argument that we were kind of expecting if Romney lost, that it would be the fault of the evangelicals. That didn't seem to be the case, at least among those who actually voted. Of course, that statistic really doesn't talk about many evangelicals who probably sat this one out.
This is from the New York Times recently writing about the post-election for Mormons. It says, until the close of the end of his campaign, Mr. Romney rarely spoke of his faith because he was so concerned that it would hinder his chances, especially among evangelical Christians, a powerful voting bloc in Republican primaries. I wonder how that went over when he was kind of keeping his Mormonism on the down low in Mormon country during that time.
Well, I think it was probably expected by many, because if Romney was to be very forthright with some of the unique aspects of his faith, it would certainly turn off a lot of evangelicals. Even when he did speak about his faith, sometimes it tended to turn off evangelicals, especially when he referred to himself as a pastor. Technically, that term would fit, let's say, a person such as Romney who held the position of bishop, but that's not a term that Mormons use among themselves. So when he would use that term, a lot of Christians felt that they were being played, and I don't think that worked for him very well.
Did his time as the GOP presidential candidate, do you think, if nothing else, do you think it helped advance the LDS Church into the popular American mainstream mindset?
I don't really think so theologically. I think we're going to be going right back to the same old questions that we had prior to the election. If the Mormon Church wants to claim that it is a true representation of Christianity, then those issues that they hold to need to be scrutinized and talked about. I don't think it really changed all that much. Of course, much remains to be seen. What's difficult is the fact that we have a lot of Christians in pretty respectable positions that are treating Mormonism as not being that seriously flawed as it really is. That doesn't help at all. I think a lot of Christians have been really duped into thinking that the Mormon Church is making some theological course corrections, but it really isn't. I mean, if you look at the conference messages that came out this last October, a lot of this stuff was the same old Mormonism that we've been hearing about for years. So when I hear fellow Christians say, well, yeah, but the Mormon Church is coming around, I have to ask, what are you hearing that I'm not reading? Because that's not what I'm seeing. And when I read the manuals and when I listen to General Conference, I'm not seeing a radical change. So I don't know. It's kind of disheartening to hear some of my fellow Christians saying things that I don't think are really even accurate when it comes to theologically regarding the Mormon Church.
I mean, what in the world could make them say, I think the Mormon Church is coming around?
Well, there are some people who actually think, because they're listening more to Brigham Young University professors rather than what the actual leaders are saying, that they're abandoning their works theology. I don't see that at all. They're kind of getting away from the teaching about men becoming gods. I don't see that at all. There's actually a newsroom website page that the Mormon Church puts out that actually denies that they believe exalted Mormons will get their own planet or world. And I find that very disturbing when you consider that there's two Mormon Church manuals that are available for purchase right now that teach that very doctrine. We're still getting a lot of these double messages coming out of the Mormon Church, which for me only strengthens my suspicion about the church. It's just not being totally honest and upfront with its doctrines, and I wish it would. I think if it was honest about the doctrines, there would probably be a lot less people joining the church than there are today.
Is that only for public consumption, or do you think that dishonesty may begin to extend to how the church deals with its faithful?
Well, when it comes to the public dishonesty, the website that I was citing, of course, anybody can go to that. If they have a question about Mormonism, they could just log on to the newsroom site, and they could probably find that if they were to use keywords such as planet, Mormons, gods, things like that. Of course, the manuals that I spoke of, that's more for the private consumption, those within the Mormon Church. So while the Mormon Church is telling the public that they don't believe certain things, they have manuals that are saying just the opposite. And this has been a pattern of Mormonism for years. I've been criticized by Mormons for saying that I really believe that there's a public message and a private message, but the Mormon Church tends to prove me true time and time again.
Bill McKeever is our guest. He'll be with us for a few more minutes on the other side of the break. We're talking about Mormonism post-defeat of GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney. It's Friday afternoon, November the 16th. I invite your questions or your comments, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Or you can go to our Facebook fan page and vote in advance for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week coming up in about 5 minutes. Facebook.com/issuesetc.
Well, Emily has completed 36 hours at Sylvan Learning Center. Her reading comprehension has improved almost 3 grade levels, and she's gone up more than a grade level in math. Not only have her academic skills improved, we've also noticed an increase in Emily's confidence. Sylvan Learning Center has 2 Metro East locations, Edwardsville 618-656-0500, Shiloh 618-628-0018, and one in Creve Coeur 314-997-3035. Sylvan Learning.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
It's here, it's here, it's finally here. Lutheran Catechesis Catechist Edition. A comprehensive guide to catechesis for a Lutheran congregation, including expanded helps on the catechism, a section of catechesis on the table of duties, Christian vocation, and learn-by-heart schedules for the congregation at prayer. Order yours today from the Concordia Catechetical Academy at peacesussex.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This month's alternative to abortion.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
You've heard it before. She's not ready to be a parent. She can barely take care of herself. Or, my life and career are going great. Having a child would ruin it all. These arguments have been used countless times to justify abortion. But what about adoption? Wouldn't adoption address these concerns just as well as abortion and be more ethical? November is National Adoption Month. As we mark this occasion, let us champion adoption and proclaim the fact that while 1.2 million babies are aborted each year, 1.5 million American couples are seeking to adopt.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Bill McKeever is our guest, founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah. We're talking about Mormonism after the defeat of GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney. In a few minutes, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Let's go to Ruthie, who's listening in St. Louis. Hi, Ruthie.
Hi. I have two questions. Does the LDS Church allow their members to commune at another church, like a real Christian denomination? And if you had like a quick answer to someone who says, "We're Christians too. Jesus Christ is in the name of our church," how would you respond?
Two good questions, Ruthie, and thanks for listening to St. Louis. Bill.
Well, the last question, when they say, "Well, we're Christians too," I would say, "Well, what's your definition of a Christian, and what's the defining attribute of a Christian?" What I'm trying to get to on that is that one thing I really find very pleasing about Christianity is not only the forgiveness of sins, but the fact that we can know we have forgiveness of sins. Unfortunately, this eludes a lot of Latter-day Saints because their list of requirements is so long. They have to repent of all their sins, which means to abandon all their sins, and they have to keep all the commandments. I've never met a Mormon who's doing that. So when I ask them, if you're a Christian, then I assume your sins are forgiven, and do you have the assurance that if you were to die right now that all your sins are forgiven and you would achieve the best your religion has for you? The answer most of the time is, well, I think so, I hope so, or just flat out no. And I think that's a problem with Mormonism. It robs the Mormon people of any assurance of that forgiveness. Now, the first question, what was that again?
Do they permit their members to, she said, commune at, or I guess would be have some kind of fellowship with regular Christian churches?
Well, some do. Some do. I don't see that as being kind of an official position of the LDS Church because, of course, they believe that they are the only true church on earth and that all other Christian denominations or other Christian professing Christians, I would say, are a part of this great apostasy that they believe took place shortly after the apostles all died. They've never changed that position. And so seeing them join hands in, like, communion, I can't even think of a time when they've actually done that. They may have had some people do that, but I don't see the leadership doing that. I could be wrong, though.
If a President Romney would have been elected and would have proven to be a popular president, do you think that that would have helped Mormons in proselytizing and change how Christians view Mormonism?
Oh, I think it probably would. Maybe because I think in our country, the confusion over what is Christianity is so large. I mean, how many times have I talked to people where they assume that moralism is Christianity? And many Mormons even think that. Many times when, for instance, that question that was asked earlier, well, we're Christians too, many times they're pointing to their moralism, and that's what they think gives them the right to say that they're Christian. They do have the name of Jesus in the name of their church, but then what does that really prove? Just about anybody can organize a church and call it whatever they want. But it's the doctrines of the church that have always concerned Christians when it comes to Mormons. But I think moralism is being equated with Christianity more and more, even within Christian circles. And that's sad because it shows that our pastors are not doing a very good job in defining who we really are as a people and what we believe.
Bill McKeever is founder of Mormonism Research Ministry based in Draper, Utah, and he's co-authored the book Mormonism 101. You'll find links to Mormonism Research Ministry and to Mormonism 101 at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thank you.
Hey, good to be with you.